You have a broken guitar? Don't fret. Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson to Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We'll have you fretting your guitar in no time at all. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, we love guitars.
And welcome to another podcast at slysoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many other great local sponsors like the Axley Law Firm, Mike Riley and John Walsh. Also, great sponsors like Madison Computer Works and SNR Remodeling. Joining us now, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the pride of Sheboygan, Martha Lanning. Martha, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, Fly. Thanks for inviting me.
We haven't talked for a while. You know what? I saw you election night early on. I gave you a big hug, and I felt like it was going to be all right. And I didn't see you at the end of the evening. I was just too depressed, and I went home.
Yeah, I think we all were feeling that way. It was an absolutely shocking night for many of us. And unfortunately, now all of us are starting to see, including people who voted for Donald Trump, they're starting to see the ramifications of that night.
Did you see the town hall with Chris Hayes on MSNBC with Bernie Sanders?
I did. I didn't see the entire thing. I saw portions of it, but I think it was a real realization that people, you could almost see like people going, oh my gosh, what have we done?
Well, it reminded me of West Virginia was a Democratic state up until a few years ago, that we have a lot in common with each other, you know? We have a lot in common with people in Appalachia. Our views aren't all that different.
That's right. That is exactly right. And right now, you know, everybody wants to feed their kids. Everybody wants to know that someday they'll be able to retire and, you know, with dignity. And those are issues that are important to all Americans, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent. And right now, we're seeing those at risk. I mean, the things that they're doing to the Affordable Care Act, it's shocking because they made a lot of promises. They said nobody would lose coverage. And you heard about the announcement yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got some clips to play for you today. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, why don't we play one right now that will let the minority leader in the Senate, the honorable senior senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, describe it.
The Republican hand-picked head of CBO has confirmed what we Democrats have been saying all along. Trump care would be a nightmare for the American people, causing tens of millions to lose coverage and millions more seeing the costs of their health care going up. 10 years from today, if President Trump and the Republicans have their way, there would be 24 million more Americans without health insurance, a total of 58 million Americans living in this country 10 years from now will not have health coverage. That's un-American. That's wrong. Premiums for seniors will rise a whopping 20 to 25%, and co-payments and deductibles for millions more. If there was ever a war on seniors, this bill, Trump Care, is it. The bill spends almost twice as much on tax cuts for the wealthy compared to tax credits to help older middle-class Americans afford health insurance. The rich get $592 billion in tax cuts for the richest, compared to only $361 billion for the middle class and the working class to afford health care. So when Speaker Ryan says it's an act of mercy, yeah, for those people who make over $250,000 a year, because they get big tax cuts.
Do you remember Republicans campaigning on a tax cut for the rich?
Yeah, no, I don't recall that at all. I kept hearing how we were going to make America great again, and we're going to help everybody, and we're going to get rid of that, you know, that healthcare policy because I'm going to make a better one. And exactly what Democrats have been telling us, you know, our legislators that are day in and day out, our congressionals out there have heard over and over again about how the Republicans didn't like this plan. And they kept saying, just offer some suggestions, offer some changes. And they never did that because this was all politics. And now we're seeing the ramifications. We are really going to hurt people here in our country.
Well, and they were,
I'm very proud to have Democrats fighting back.
And they were doing other things in the last 8 years to sabotage the Affordable Care Act as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the death spiral right now that, you know, Trump is claiming about, there is no death spiral. They have cut advertising. They have done all these things to try to make it so that people didn't sign up for coverage. And yet people are signing up because they need it, you know. And it's like Trump has been trying to make the Affordable Care Act fail. And now he has seen that it's pretty tough to come up with a plan even half as good as the Affordable Care Act. So he's in a tight spot, and I'm quite frankly glad he is.
Well, I've had a lot of people that are very fearful that they're going to lose their Medicaid. And, you know, what do you do when you lose your Medicaid? You don't go to the doctor.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And this is just something that, you know, when the Republican Party is so concerned about their wealthy donors and giving out millions and millions and millions of tax cuts to people, you know, and then they're leaving seniors who are already struggling, already trying to figure out how do I, you know, pay for the rent and have food money. You know, it's really a shame. You know, that's not what our country is based on. It's not what we were all raised. Those values are not the values that are American values. And so they're going to have to respond to the voters. The voters are not going to stand for this.
Well, I happen to be of the same faith as Paul Ryan, and I read to a crowd in Janesville the other day some quotes from Pope Francis. I'm not really sure Pope Francis would be down with this bill.
I do not believe that he would either. I mean, the issue here is that, you know, we care about our neighbors. You care about people that need assistance. You know, we want to be sure that people get proper health care and the support that they need. And this bill is going to kick millions of people off of health care. And this is a bill that gave everybody a physical. Every year you could find out if there was a medical condition you needed to address. Now without insurance, people won't get that support. They won't get those physicals. They won't find out about problems that they have until, you know, possibly too late. You know, these are all things that we don't want to see happening to our neighbors, and the Republicans are going to have to deal with the questions that are being sent at.
Well, here's another example of that. This is from the town hall meeting in McDowell County, West Virginia, last night. This woman's name is Judy Riff. Her husband has black lung.
Okay, with the black lung before the Affordable Care Act, you know, President Nixon signed that the coal miners would be compensated for the health because their life is going to be shortened by the black lung, and it does come from the occupation. President Reagan then made it so hard for the miner to prove he had black lung. It just could not even be done hardly. So then our Senator Byrd was wheeled out on the Senate floor in a wheelchair when they were passing the Affordable Care Act, and he got it that if a miner had worked 15 years in the mines, the burden of proof would go to the company to prove he didn't have the black lung, instead of the miner having to prove it. Also, when the miner would die, the spouse had to reprove it. Senator Byrd got that part removed. Huh. But this is all going to die with the Affordable Care Act.
I just want to be clear. If they pass this bill right now, if they repeal the Affordable Care Act, the expanded eligibility for folks with black lung, for all the folks in this county and the neighboring counties and all throughout West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Kentucky and Tennessee that mine coal for years, it will go back to being much, much harder for those folks to access benefits from the government. Is that right?
Yes. And also, we have these rural health clinics that treat these miners with this black lung disease. And, you know, it's very needed. That is mostly funded by the Affordable Care Act.
So that's a pretty incredible moment, isn't it?
Yeah. It breaks your heart. You know, you don't even know what to say because you just can't imagine that one American would do this to another, you know, and you can hear what that poor woman has gone through, what her family's gone through. And she's right now realizing that, you know, this coverage is going to disappear. And what are all those people going to do? And, The Republican Party should be ashamed of themselves. This is tragic. They're playing politics with people's lives. It's wrong, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Martha Lanning with us. She's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. You were recently in Atlanta, a very close election. You supported Keith Ellison. He did not win. I want your observations about what happened with Secretary Perez winning and the feeling in the room.
Well, it was a very, very close race, as you know. it was just almost a perfect divide. It was, you know, within a 20 votes. And I think everybody was just waiting on bated breath to see what the numbers are. And we saw when the numbers came up, and we knew that Secretary Perez was the winner. The issue that I will tell you is, one is, Secretary Perez and Representative Ellison, through this entire competition, have been very complimentary of each other. They were very supportive of each other. They were exactly what I always imagined good Democratic campaigns would be. Because when we're all done with it, there is no, you know, healing that we have to do that was caused by the campaign itself. And then immediately when Secretary Perez was announced as the winner, he appointed and asked for all of us as the delegation to approve making Keith Ellison the deputy chair. And that was just a real piece of unity that we were all thrilled with. It was unanimous. There was just a huge applause for it. And it just shows that we are going to come together as a Democratic Party, and we're going to beat the Republicans in 2018.
Is it real, though? I mean, there are. It's never been a monolithic party, and there has been some. There's been some changes over the years. A lot of business types and Wall Street types that used to be Republicans but are not social conservatives have become part of the Democratic Party. And yet there are some real differences with people, not just with, I don't like to make it as simplistic as the Bernie Sanders wing, but there are people that have different views within in the Democratic Party, which is good, but is there a cohesive coalition?
I do believe that there is. I mean, and I think a large part of that is because Secretary Perez and Representative Ellison, they did have followers with different beliefs, right? We're all Democrats, but, you know, different ends of the Democratic Party. We're a big umbrella party. I mean, we have a lot of people. But I also would say that, and I, one of the reasons why I really liked Keith Ellison is he had a lot of people who, you know, were supporters of Hillary as well as supporters of Bernie. You know, he had both. And I believe that the two of them working together as they did, coming together all the time and complimenting each other all the time when they were giving speeches, I think they are being the true leadership that we need, that's saying you got to put aside your differences, you got to talk about the things that we both agree on, and we have to sit down and have good conversations about the things that we don't and be respectful of each other, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It seems to me that there's kind of another divide in just what animates people. I can usually predict in races, especially in Dane County, a lot of women in Dane County are still more animated by Planned Parenthood and reproductive rights and feminism. And then there's another wing of the Democratic Party that is far more animated by labor rights issues. There's a cohesive bridge of people supporting the safety net and environmental rights, but people are animated by different things, right? You agree with me?
Yeah, I do agree that I think there are Democrats that have a passion for many different things, but I think that we also we talk about really about these bigger things. We all believe that people should have opportunity. We believe that a child, no matter where they live in our state, in our country, should have an opportunity to get a good education and be able to, you know, succeed in life. We believe in respect and fairness. You know, we want our government to work for us, not to be hurting some people in our government in order to, you know, take care of their donors. We believe that neighbor to neighbor that we should be respected. And so all of these different groups, whether you're an environmentalist that's looking at wanting to have clean water and wanting to be sure that we're taking care of our environment, you know, those can fall under those things. It's offering opportunity to future generations that wouldn't be there. Or it's respecting the fact that, you know, this earth is not here for us to dispose of, you know, and women's issues, you know, it's a matter of respect that shouldn't a woman have the same opportunities that men have? And the labor issue, shouldn't everybody be able to work a full-time job and take care of their family? You know, it's opportunity. So I really like to try to say that there may be people with different passions, but they can fall under these key values that we hold. And unfortunately, I don't see the Republican Party emulating those same values.
Martha Lanning with us at SliceOffice.com. I want to talk to you a little bit about the ability to communicate a message. Now, I will say, and you're probably going to disagree with me here, but I don't think Secretary Perez is a particularly effective communicator. My concern is that he speaks in rather broad generalizations and sort of high-minded superlatives, but he doesn't get to the nitty-gritty. Bernie Sanders isn't a particularly polished speaker, but he is able to convey a certain sense of anger in a very direct way that seems to connect with people. Are you concerned that we're still not going to be able to get through to some of the people we need to get through to?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that's helping us get through to people is people watching what's happening with President Trump and watching, you know, this Affordable Care Act.
Is there something happening with President Trump? Has he made any? I haven't noticed.
When people are hearing lie after lie after lie, President Trump is that if you criticize him in any way, if you say that he's done anything at all wrong, he can't take it, and he immediately comes up with some outlandish thing to say, you know? And now people are starting to see, you know, I think people made excuses for him at first, you know, during the campaign. Oh, that's just because of the campaign. He won't do that when he's a president. Now that he's been a president and he's continuing to make these outlandish statements, people are starting to say, oh, he'll, you know, that they kind of swish it away saying it's not a big deal because it's just one or two. But now when it's been a repeated thing over and over and over again, I think that's making people kind of take a step back going, you know, this is really discouraging, disappointing, and embarrassing that our country has a man that is leading it that cannot be honest. And I think that alone is something that we need to just stick to our values and talking about how we want to have representatives that are honest and fair and that are going to work for all the people. We want to create an economy that works for everyone, not just Donald Trump and his friends. And we want to be sure that all people are respected. And that's what we have to stick to. And I think Secretary Perez and Keith Ellison do a great job of talking about all of those issues.
Yeah, so you just disagree. They are different. They do not communicate in the same way, right? Would you agree with that?
I think the thing is as the chair of the party here in Wisconsin, you know, we have a lot of people who are out there talking about the issues. And depending upon who you're talking to, they all have different ways of talking about the issues. And sometimes having that strong and forceful voice is a good thing. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes having a more tactful way of discussing an issue and just, you know, listening and presenting different ways of looking at it is a good way of doing it. So I don't think there's one way of talking about an issue that's right. I think everybody has their different style. But right now, I've been very pleased with Secretary Perez and Keith Ellison's, I think, as a team, their messaging.
Have you sat down and talked to him?
I have not had the opportunity yet. Now, we've been getting a lot of communications about what they're doing. There is a phone call that I'm going to be on coming up. So he's definitely doing a lot of work right now to get the DNC up and running on all cylinders. They've been doing a good job, but now that we know who our leader is, we're ready to go full force ahead.
Are you able to go full force ahead with plans for the 2018 election when you're looking over your shoulder for re-election for yourself in 2017?
Well, I'm a real believer in democracy, and I think it's great that we have people that want to run for office, and I'm just going to put out what my plan is out there and let people choose. And you know, I'm certainly hoping that people will will pick me because
well, now
I'll
that's,
give you an
Now that's very humble, but you are a much better organizer, and I know I know how tenacious you are.
Well, I will.
I know that you are,
crossing
every T and dotting every I to make sure that you have an organization to get reelected. You must.
Well, exactly. I'm going to work hard to be there because I think it's the right thing for Wisconsin. I think it's a bad idea to switch horses in the middle of a race. I don't think you can win then. We, right now, you know, I came on board and we had 7 people that were working on our staff. We had 13 and we're going to be up to 19 very shortly because we're putting out 6 regional organizers and a constituency outreach out in the state within the next couple weeks. We just hired them. So these are people that are going to be out there helping to take harness some of this energy that everybody has, all this activism, wanting to go, you know, to the town halls, wanting to have letter writing campaigns, wanting to get out and do good things in your community, like working for Habitat for Humanity. We want to harness all that energy so that in 2018 we can get all those people out and helping us knock on doors, talking to their neighbors so that we can win. And so we're doing some really amazing things, and I want to continue that.
Let me ask you this. I know that there was an analysis of the 2016 vote was going to be coming out, the deep dive into the numbers. Has that report come out?
Well, we have the data analysis part is not quite finished, unfortunately, because of, well, the recount that occurred, it slowed us getting some of the information that we normally get from the state. We just got it not too long ago. But the rest of it is, we did a summary, and actually this last weekend we had a long retreat in Wisconsin Rapids, and we reported to all the county
party chairs. Oh, Wisconsin Rapids. How did you pick Wisconsin Rapids?
Because it's the center of the state.
Uh-huh.
It's
also where Martha Lanning grew up.
It was kind of funny. I'm in this hotel saying, this is where my wedding reception was. It was pretty fun. We did this great retreat, and people loved hearing about all of the things that we learned. And then we presented to our team, all of our county parties, grassroots organizers, legislators that came. We presented to them what our strategy was moving forward, and then we got feedback on it. This is really, we're going to turn this around because we're listening to the people out there. And any concerns that are being raised, we're being sure that people are having a voice, to have their voice heard, and that we're reevaluating what we're doing and we're moving forward.
Is there any part of the data that you've seen that you can share with us on this podcast?
I would say that some of the things that I think are really important is that we need to be sure that we're really valuing the grassroots, that there are no people that know their community better than the people that live in that community. And we need to be sure that we're establishing a way for that communication to go all the way up to the top where the planning is being done by how much literature and where we need literature. We need to also be sure that the message that we're using is appropriate to the area that we're in, you know, that one message isn't going to work for the entire state of Wisconsin. We got to allow people to really be able to localize their messaging.
You know, honest to God, I figured that was going on already.
I think the issue here is it's really tough for us to just launch a campaign and hire, you know, more than 140 people and get them out around the state and be sure that they know all the people in the community and who they need to connect with, and that when they tell you there's something wrong, they should elevate that. That's a lot to be happening when you're trying to do it in 3 to 5 months, you know?
Well, how much?
So what we're doing right now is putting people in the field to get to know all of their county parties, to get to know some of the key people there, to meet volunteers, so that we've kind of worked through that we know each other, we know what needs to happen, and then when we start running the campaigns, we know who to call, we know what to do, and it's really important that we build that infrastructure.
How much control does the party really have over messaging, though? Aren't you kind of at the mercy of your candidates?
Well, but if I have money to help us do some of that messaging, so for instance, if we had a candidate that's saying that I don't have enough money and so I'm not going to be putting messaging in this part of the state, then we would be able to step up, you know, if I have, you know, raised the money to support that. So that's one thing. The second thing is that really talking about the messaging that candidates want to win, and if we're telling them that, you know, this is on your platform and we just wanted to tell you that this particular issue is important. So, for instance, let's talk about broadband, right? Broadband is a really key for business to be successful. And in the northern and western part of our state, we have huge areas where broadband is not functioning properly. I mean, we don't have access that people need to have good internet. And so we need to be able to utilize that to talk about that issue because it's something people really understand, but it will help our economy. It will help businesses get started. It will help create jobs. It will do all of those things.
Are you concerned the Democrats don't have a candidate for governor yet?
Well, we do have some people that are seriously considering a run. You know, they haven't all, you know, we've had some people talking about, you know, that they're running. And then we have other people that are considering a run. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a primary in August. And my job here is to be sure that all people who are running have the support of the party there for them, and that we ensure that, you know, in August we have a very strong candidate that can beat Scott Walker.
What about the party picking sides? It was real clear in 2014 the party was on Mary Burke's side. And that was
that's not going to happen. I mean, I am a strong believer that the people need to make these decisions, that I was elected by the members of our party to be sure that we had the infrastructure here and that we had, you know, that we were getting a good message out and that we were here to support candidates. It's the people's choice as to who our gubernatorial candidate will be.
Well, Jim Doyle and Russ Feingold both had very competitive primaries in 1992 and then in 2002, respectively. And I actually think that helped both of them.
Well, and I think that's another key point is that, you know, having a primary, it helps you practice. It helps you see what it takes to run for office. And we would rather have someone getting that practice in a primary when they're running against, you know, another Democrat than learning about that when they're running against the Republican.
How's membership of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin doing?
It's going up, and we would love all of your listeners to join the party because that membership, you get benefits. We send out a weekly memo or a letter to everybody for me, an update, and it tells you about things going on, but it also gives you key articles that you might have missed. There's also an opportunity to be signing up for messaging. And then you can be part of your county party where they're doing a lot of activities now. We're increasing, getting involved in spring elections and et cetera. So we're really excited about what's happening and reaching out to some of these wonderful groups that are forming all over the state of Wisconsin. We've got, you know, Indivisible and all kinds of groups that are forming, and we're reaching out to them and say, let's all work together because we only have one goal here, and that is to be sure that we create a government that works for everyone and that we create an economy that works for everyone too, not just those at the top.
Martha Lanning. Hang on just a second. Martha Lanning is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.